Just the kind of informative challenges that I'll be giving on the effectiveness of the church is something I've been praying about, been burdened for some time. And over the next couple of weeks, Pastor Terry's going to be very practical in talking about how to talk to someone about leading a soul to Christ. He may talk to you about door to door and so forth. By the way, as I go out door to door, I try to be very friendly with the people. And sometimes have the opportunity to compliment their yard or their shrubs or their home in general. Try to tell them initially where we're from and even by direction, because sometimes they are initially thinking we're Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I try to connect them to, oh no, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. And, then I'm excited about what the Lord's doing at our church and would like to invite you out and try to get into a relationship and a communication with them, seeing if they go to church anywhere and where they go and where they are in their relationship with the Lord. So just trying to be very practical and very simplistic in talking to people about the Lord. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever heard of a place called McDonald's? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you have. Not quite everybody, so some of you are in better shape than the rest of us. How about Coke? Have you ever heard of Coke? You don't need to continue to raise your hand. Pepsi? How about Geico? Have you ever heard of Geico? Yeah, you don't even need insurance at your age and you still heard of Geico. Progressive, don't they? Who's the lady on Progressive? Does anybody know her name? What's her name? Oh. Wow, look at that. This is embarrassing, isn't it? What? These companies advertise all the time, but you already know about them. Why do they advertise? Ever stop and think about that? You know what? Number one, it's a write-off for them. But number two, they recognize, even though you know about them, it's not until a certain time, maybe in life, where, insurance check and it's overly high. I ought to look into one of these, you know, and you think of maybe contacting Geico or maybe Allstate, who has some interesting commercials from time to time, or maybe you're going somewhere, I am kind of hungry for, and all of a sudden you're hungry for McDonald's. If that is true, maybe you need counseling or something, but if you're hungry for McDonald's, but all of a sudden, you know, it's just, they're out there, we know about them, but they're still advertising. And I thought, you know, we just gotta assume people know about Christ, they know there's churches around, but you know what? We ought to still be out there and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and inviting people to our church. And what we've done over the last couple of weeks that I've spoken regarding this, we've kind of gone back to look at the Great Commission. We've come to this conclusion that the Lord gave to the church pastors and teachers so the church could be mended, fixed, put back together, prepared, polished, so that they'll do the work of the ministry and so that they will edify the body of Christ. It isn't only our responsibility as pastors to witness, though we do have that responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. And we also then went forward and looked at the five Great Commission passages, one in each of the Gospels, the other in the first chapter of the book of Acts. And if you boil their statements down, in fact, I've just taken some excerpts from each of the verses, and I've actually put it in my notes so I didn't quote or read the entire verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations, or his name among all nations. So send I you. Ye shall be witnesses. So the idea of the Great Commission is ultimately this, that we would proclaim the name of Christ to everyone that we would have opportunity to do so with. And we ought to look for those opportunities. We ought to pursue opportunities. I jotted really quickly the verse that Karen gave, which is their theme verse, to give light. And I thought, you know, that to them, that is their part of the Great Commission. They are to giving light to those who sit in darkness. And so in doing so, they are accomplishing, couriers for Christ, the Great Commission, unto the uttermost. Paul said, because he felt like he was under the responsibility, and we looked at Acts chapter 20 last time as we were together. He says, what we've done is gone house to house and publicly. And the reason they did that is so that they would be free from the blood of all men. They wanted to make sure, and that makes me think, though, Paul saying that, he says, you know what? I take it from this. He's at least implying this or inferring this and maybe even applying this, that we're responsible for the blood of everyone within our reach. And we're responsible for their soul. And so if it is our responsibility, if we don't take the gospel to our community, then their blood will be required at our hands. If I take what Paul is implying, at least inferring, but probably even implying from that passage of Scripture. And so we then have a responsibility to take the gospel to our community. And so while we invite them to come here, they're not all going to come, correct? We're inviting all the young people to VBS. I'm going to say they probably aren't going to come, and that's probably a good thing. We weren't ready for that many. They probably aren't going to all come. And so, Paul says we do it publicly and house to house. And why is he doing that? Why are they going house to house? Because they wanted to make sure that they at least fulfilled their responsibility. So the Great Commission is then about witnessing and testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to make a statement. It's kind of a strong statement, but I think it is accurate, that you can actually fulfill your part of the Great Commission without ever leading a soul to Christ. Now, what we're to do is try to lead them to Christ and then see them baptized and disciple them. But if the best that we can do is at least share the gospel, then we've done as much as we can do. We have to lift him up so that he can draw people to himself. That's why I think as Pastor Terry, I know he's very careful about this. We aren't into trying to coerce people to pray a prayer. I've mentioned this before. I remember a guy saying how he did it. I mentioned this before. I'm sorry if you're hearing it again, but some weren't here, some didn't hear it. He would always get people. He said, now I got to go, and I know you want me to go, so let me pray real quick with you. And so in the middle of the prayer, he'd say, now if you'd like to go to heaven someday, raise your hand. And so he'd just keep getting people to do things, and then he'd say, well, now you're saved. Well, I think if you'd ask almost the average, would you like to go to heaven, almost everybody would say yes. But that doesn't mean they're ready to get saved. And so he was making himself feel better and making himself feel like a great witness, but I doubt very many of those people were actually born again. So again, Pastor Terry is very careful, and I'm sure he will lead you in the same way. Our responsibility isn't to try to get them to pray a prayer. Our responsibility is to declare what Jesus Christ has done for the world. And in doing so, we trust the Lord to work in their heart that they would desire to get saved. Now, I know we've kind of said that, well, I don't know, door-to-door works anymore. Well, while Becky and Christy had the opportunity to see door-to-door work, if you want to put it that way, just a couple weeks ago when they talked to a young lady named Nicole, and Becky and Christy said she was just ready to get saved. And her heart seemed very prepared. And in that opportunity, I had the opportunity to talk to her and lead her into a prayer regarding salvation. So we praise the Lord for that. And again, I have always likened it. Karen used to be, she's still a registered nurse, but she was a practicing registered nurse during third shift. And so you're going around when basically people are sleeping, but from time to time you meet someone in that situation who is in need, who is in distress. Largely as they would make their rounds, maybe people are sleeping and so forth. But as nurses go and make their rounds, from time to time they meet someone who needs someone and needs something. And the same way with door to door. By and large, a lot of the people aren't excited we're knocking on their doors, and they're not excited necessarily to get the information. But time to time, you're going to meet someone like that who is just ready to get saved. And so we continue, I believe, to carry that responsibility and to continue to share the gospel. Now, I think we all have to think then, within our lives, how can I help reach our community? I'm going to talk in a little bit from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but again, from a practical standpoint, how can we effectively begin to reach out and into our community? One of it may be by the handing out of tracts. I know one of our people who recently took one of the DVD series that we were offering, and they actually invited some people in their neighborhood to their home to allow them to view the DVD and to get into conversations with them. I know Brother Ron walks the trail from time to time, and he does so with some water and maybe some type of snacks because these people are hiking, and he tries to be a blessing to them in that way, but also shares tracts with them. And again, what's Brother Ron doing? He's just trying to get the gospel out there. He is trying to accomplish the Great Commission. I know as Becky and Beth from time to time walk the rail trail, is that the proper name? And they have a little bag that they take out, and they're able to give out a little bit of a treat and have again the gospel. Brother Berman has been doing the crosses. And I think in four different businesses right now, Brother Berman, five businesses right now. He has the crosses with tracts being put out. And again, it's just an opportunity to say, hey, let's reach out into our community. And I think in doing so, we are accomplishing the Great Commission. Again, the Great Commission is sowing the seed of the gospel to every person we come in contact with. And so what we want to try to do is get to every creature, every person, every individual that we can in Denver and in Reamstown. And so you can be a witness in your workplace. You can be a witness in your neighborhood. But again, even if every one of us witnessed in every one of our workplaces and in every one of our neighborhoods, we're going to miss some people. And that's why I think it's good for us to go out on the visitation and try to knock on all of those doors and try to get to those various homes and either hang a door hanger on the door or knock and try to engage them in conversation. Why? Because we want to rightly we are ambassadors for Christ and need to rightly represent Him. I talked to Pastor Terry before. They've gone to the sporting place. And I think they're going to do it again sometime in the future. And I think it'd be a great opportunity to invite an unsaved friend along, a neighbor along who may like hunting, and build up a relationship, get them to connect with other guys from our church with the opportunity to witness. I talked a little bit before about the seniors. See, we have a great seniors group. But what if once in a while, as the Gehrigs would permit and at the right activity and all, you maybe invite an unsaved senior that you know to one of the activities. Get to know our seniors. And again, build those relationships with the goal of leading them to Christ. We do the Vacation Bible School. We do the Sportsman's Dinner. Again, we don't do those just because we love the activities. I think we enjoy them. They're fun to get involved in and so forth. But ultimately, we're doing it to sow the seed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question is, that I would have for you, is what are you personally doing to try to personally help reach our community for Christ? We don't want this to just fall on the shoulders of a few. And we also, as we read the scriptures, recognize that every one of us that is a child of God bears some responsibility to sharing the gospel. So let me ask you, what are you personally doing to try to effectively present the gospel to people you are coming in contact with? Let's have a word of prayer and then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 briefly. And then really kind of bring us to a drawing point. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and you have done so much for us, and you commended or showed your love to us. Well, we can show our love to others and our love for you and our love for their own soul by presenting them the gospel. So I pray you'd work in our hearts. May we have young people that want to be involved in sharing the gospel. May our seniors desire to continue to share the gospel. May everyone in this church find a way to have a witness opportunity that they can be effectively working in the Great Commission as well. And so, Father, work in all of our hearts tonight, even as we consider the Scriptures briefly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you read the opening few verses, I've actually did a series on 2 Corinthians chapter 5 just a couple of years ago, an entire series of messages out of this chapter. And as I remember back to that series and just my knowledge of the chapter itself, Paul opens by saying, you know what, I'm right now in this tabernacle, I'm living in this body, but I have a heavenly tabernacle prepared for me. He's groaning, he's looking forward to moving one day from that earthly tabernacle into his heavenly tabernacle. So Paul was confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And so you say, okay, if we know we're saved, we know we're going to heaven, what keeps us serving? What keeps us motivated? And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that motivation for effectively sharing the gospel tonight. And I want you to look at verse number 9. We're just going to work our way down through the rest of the chapter, not considering anything in depthly, but just taking a few verses here and there. He says, this is why we labor. Wherefore we labor. That, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. I think it's one of Barlett's favorite songs that we sang tonight, Have I Done My Best? One day we are actually going to meet the Lord, and the question is, have I done my best? Or am I going to be ashamed or embarrassed when I ultimately meet the Lord? So he says, this is why I labor. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't labor to get there. The reason I labor, this is why we labor, that we may be accepted or we may be pleasing to Him. Look what he says in verse number 10, for we must, what's the next word? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body, so there he goes back to this earthly body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And again, if you look at 1 Corinthians 3 later, it's going to give us a more in-depth view of what verse 10 is saying here. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are going to be rewarded according to our works, repeating that word several times. And so we're going to have to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, speaking of individual. And we are going to give an account, and we're going to receive of the things that we have done. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, it says in verse number 11, we persuade men. So one of the things that motivates Paul is, number one, he wants to be pleasing the Lord. Number two, he knows one day he's going to have to stand before the Lord. And also, another thing that motivates him, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I think now he's not talking about him standing before the judgment seat of Christ, but he's thinking, you know what? People are going to stand before the white throne judgment seat of Christ, a different judgment seat. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, knowing the terror of the Lord, therefore we persuade men. So again, another motivation. So Paul is giving us a number of motivations here of why he is involved in the Great Commission and effectively trying to witness to others. Let's look at... let's look at verse 14. He also says, for what else constrains him? What is it? The love of Christ constraineth us. By the way, there's a difference between restraining and constraining. Restraining something is holding it back. Constraining is actually motivating it or even propelling it forward or controlling what it does. And so he says, the love of Christ has constrained us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. And here's another motivation. Christ died for me. So now I'm not to live for me, I'm to live for Him. So God loving him enough to send his son to die for him becomes another motivation for Paul. Then look what he says in verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. And I didn't understand that verse for years. And as you look at verse number 16, he says, you know what? Now that I'm saved and living with this different perspective of life, I'm not here just to get through. I'm here to reach people with the gospel. He says, you know what? I don't look at people in the same way anymore. I don't look at people as flesh. I look at people now as souls. Paul's viewpoint of mankind changed once the love of Christ constrained him and he was gloriously saved. He says, I don't now know people in the flesh. I now know people as souls that are going to spend somewhere for all eternity. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, including how I visualize people and what I do with my life. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us what? The ministry of what? What does that mean? You've been given, if you're a Christian, how many of you are a Christian in here tonight? Raise your hand. Okay? All the same people know about McDonald's. That's what a coincidence. All right, you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. What is that? What does that look like? Who can help me with that? You've been given a ministry, so what is that? Okay, how do we do that? That's a great, perfect answer. How do we do that? Brother Butch. Excellent. Using Scripture. Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what we are to be doing is we are trying to help people get right with God, correct? And we do that by giving them the Word, whether in a printed form, whether in an audio form, or just verbally talking to them. So we've all been given a ministry of reconciliation. Let me ask you, who's the last person you helped reconcile to God? When has it been? When's the last time you effectively worked in this ministry of reconciliation and actually helped somebody get right with God? I trust that it's happening in our lives. Then he goes on, verse number 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So this is a ministry God's involved in also, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. It's an interesting word, that word, word. Sorry for the play on words, so to speak. But it's talking about the message of reconciliation. So he's given us a ministry of reconciliation, and he's given us the message of reconciliation. And Pastor Terry's going to help you with that. I'm putting a lot on your shoulders, Pastor Terry. I trust you come through for us well in the next couple of weeks. Pastor Terry's going to help us to know, in part, what is that word of reconciliation. And he might share with us the Romans road. But it includes the gospel message that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors. We've been given a ministry. We've been given a message. We're now ambassadors. Now, by the way, remember what an ambassador does. An ambassador, his primary responsibility is to represent someone. An ambassador for the United States is representing who? The United States of America. Now, they're hoping to have an influence. They're hoping to have an opportunity to bring people into a right relationship with America, right? With the United States by being an ambassador. But if nothing else, if they spend their entire lives rightly representing America, even if no one wants to become an American or having a right relationship with America because of their ministry, they still have done a job well done as long as they've well represented America. Same way with us as Christians. You're now an ambassador. By the way, I don't see in here you become an ambassador at age 21. I don't see in here that you're done being an ambassador at age 65. Interestingly, though, Brogue calls their seniors group ambassadors. So they still see themselves as ambassadors even at the age of 65. I tried to get them to name their group Antiques, but they didn't like that idea. But I looked at it this way. Antiques are valuable. They're precious. They took it the wrong way. Anyway, let me move on. We're ambassadors, and it doesn't have a starting age or an ending age. An ambassador for the United States eventually retires. We should. And again, as seniors, let's try to effectively reach our people for Christ. Now, he goes on to say, we're ambassadors, as though God did beseech you, we pray you. It's the idea we're not, it's not saying we're praying for you. It's not saying we're praying to you. But it's this idea, we request you, be ye reconciled. Remember earlier? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so, we're now ambassadors, and we're to rightly represent Him. I gave you a couple of examples of what some of our people are doing, and I apologize. I know there are others of you effectively witnessing and trying to impact. These are the ones that came to my mind as I was speaking tonight. But there are others of you trying to effectively reach maybe coworkers or neighbors or people in the community. But let me just encourage you. Our church needs to be effective in our community. God has put us here to be a lighthouse, that we might be a lighthouse to this community. Now, one day that may mean having some type of a reformers program for people that are addicted to things. That may be having a Spanish-type ministry. That might be having a Russian-type ministry, whatever it may be, so that we can say what we're trying to do is effectively reach the people of our community with the gospel. This isn't something that you merely pay Pastor Terry and I to do for you. Paul says, you know what? We labor together and we are God's husbandry. And he goes on to say, we are laborers together with God. And so God is in this ministry with us, and every one of us ought to be looking for ways where we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the community. I would really like you to pray about that. Okay, how can I get involved? This would be what you're praying. Lord, how can I be involved in trying to help people? If the blood of people may be required at my hands, and there are several passages of Scripture. In fact, there is one of the parables, and I'm going to be careful how I word this, but it almost makes it sound like in the parable, he says that you take them and cast them into the lake of fire. Boy, wouldn't that be a horrible thing if God said, now there's your neighbor, and they never got saved. Now, why don't you take them and cast them into the lake of fire? Boy, wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Especially if we had never offered them the gospel, and that would be required of us. So again, there's no age discrimination here. Every one of us ought to be looking for an opportunity to share the gospel. A great way to start is with tracts. What is a tract? It's a small piece of information that has the basic gospel plan of salvation. Now, I should reword that. Not all tracts are meant to share the gospel, but we have a number of them out there, specifically the center board over here that has tracts in there that share the gospel with people. We try to buy ones that are clear with the gospel. Again, I like God's simple plan and the bridge. They're my favorite too. And I promote them more than any others because I think they're probably the clearest that we have. But what we ought to do is start there and talking to people. And hey, can I give you something about my Lord Jesus Christ? Can I hand you something that we hand out from church? I don't care how you state it. But you say, I want to share something with you. I'd really like if you'd take the opportunity to read it. And you can do that with a stranger. You say, what do they think of me if I have? What do you care what do they think of you? they're perishing. What does it matter what do they think of you? That's pride that wells up in us, isn't it? What are they going to think of me if I give them something like that? It really doesn't matter. What matters is what they think of our Lord and Savior. And so let's do our best. Let's pray. Some are walking trails. Some are taking hiking opportunities and using them to witness. Some are using storefronts and availability to put tracks there. Let's pray. The other day, was it Karen? You had given a track to somebody and they said somebody else had just given it. Was somewhere, I think, yeah, and I think Sylvia may have been the other one that handed a track to him before Karen did. We were recently in a business, and Karen handed a track. Said, oh, somebody else just gave me one of these. And so, praise the Lord. And I'm thinking, that must hit them. Wow. Several people, I ought to read this. Several people gave me this today. And so let's flood our community with the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Let's pray.